Welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast here, looking ahead to the weekend's action and looking back on the past 7 days of Nottingham Panthers matches. So we reflect on a 6-point week effectively, including a 4-point weekend, and look ahead to this weekend's two huge matches, Manchester at home on Saturday. Tickets are selling really well, over 5,500 already sold. And then, of course, Cardiff Devils on the road on Sunday. Good evening to the podcast crew. Hopefully going to have a very special guest later on. But for now, Ken Feast, Chris Gadsby, Dan Green and Jono Bullard. Good evening. How are you all?
Evening,
Evening.
everyone.
Evening. All good, thanks.
Good.
Let's go back all the way now because we didn't meet last Wednesday because there was a game. So, a week on, Ken, how important do you think that was, that victory by the Panthers? 6-1 seems a long time ago. So much has happened. But how important was that game to, that was the start of looking at, I think the real Panthers that Danny and Linton expected when they signed this team up.
Confidence is key. It's a big part of the game, and I think we talked at the post game podcast. I think on Saturday night we talked a bit about the game on the Wednesday, and we talked about consistency. We talked about all those things, but I think confidence is really key. And if you sort of put to one side that whole thing around playing the right way, playing how we should be playing as a team. There's nothing like a win for the confidence. So I think that was the catalyst for kickstarting, the kind of little mini run that we've gone on over the last three games.
Greeno, is Ken kind of right there? You, as a former player, as a former goalie, it was clear that this Panthers side is very good. And look, we had a decent enough pre-season, some nice results there. Obviously, didn't start the way we wanted in the league, just been stumbling slightly. Obviously, as we just said with Ken, quality on paper. Does it sometimes take a group of guys, just a little switch is flicked? Danny just changed the line slightly, and it really has seemed to kick on from last Wednesday.
Yeah, I think there's always that one result that just kickstarts everything. And obviously, the weekend before wasn't what anybody wanted, and probably a bit of a disappointing kind of start to the Challenge Cup. But I think it was good to play. Guildford had obviously beat us down there in the cup. It was good to just go back there straight away and, in a different competition, get the league campaign started. And that's a huge win, kind of reversing that result from, a week or so before. Massive, not just a win, but a convincing win. Lots of guys that maybe haven't got on the board, got their first sort of few points, so that was huge. And then, bringing that form back home and getting the two wins in the Challenge Cup was huge.
Jono, you've always talked, since the start of the season about how much depth Panthers have had. Just the fact that Danny changed his lines around slightly, just tinkered with it does show, don't you think, that that those forwards can move up and down lines. I mean, all four lines are strong, but the import forwards that are currently occupying the top nine spots, it kind of just shows that he can move them around in any sort of combination.
Yeah, it was always about finding the lines that clicked together and worked. And I think he found that over the past three games, certainly last Wednesday against Guildford. I mean, plenty of depth scoring again on Saturday, even though it was Boss and Chase Pearson who got the goals. If you look at who got the assists and who was setting them up, that was all through the team. So yeah, it was just about finding those lines that clicked, and they've done that. And obviously, the lines will change as the season goes on because they're never going to stay the same. There's going to be things that happen that means that they have to change over. But I think right about now, he seems to have the perfect combination.
Chris Gadsby, what's been your thoughts? As the man who reports on it for BBC Radio Nottingham, you've seen the. I mean, ironically, it looks like our away form has obviously been so much better than our home form, which is kind of a shame because I think our success last year, our bedrock was how good our home form was. But what have you thought so far in those home matches that you've seen, and I guess what you've managed to see of the away games?
Yeah, I think particularly last Saturday, that first period, Panthers came out so well, and then it was, you know, the complete opposite in the second period, particularly in terms of the shots, and Guildford were able to bring the game back and make it quite interesting after it seemed like it was almost dead in the water after 20 minutes. But what's interesting with me so far this year is, as Jono says, yeah, there's the depth scoring. You've got eight goal scorers already in the six Challenge Cup games. So it's not just, you know, a few players that are doing the scoring. It's coming from all through the lines. And obviously last year, remember how Panthers got off to a flyer in the Challenge Cup and struggled to get the league started. And this year they're struggling, well, early on in the first couple of weeks with the Challenge Cup, and that, you know, could change over the next few days depending on how those games go. Tough games, but they got the league campaign off to a flyer. So if it's that way around this year, we know that obviously Panthers only just missed out on the league title last year, they might end up going better.
Yeah, absolutely, really good point. Ken, looking at Saturday, there were negatives, and I thought you broke it down really well, you guys did in the post-game podcast. But that kind of first period, I think Linton came out in the interview with Owen Bradley and effectively said that first period is really the template for what this team is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, like you say, we kind of break it down on the night. But yeah, that first period, I think we went into the break 4-0 up, didn't we? I think it was, really solid, really consistent, really responsible. I think we know that we knew always there were goals in the side, and we saw that, that power on display in that first period. And I think, because it happened so early, I think there was that complacency that maybe crept in, and you sort of think, well, the game's won, they're not going to come back, we're just going to keep rolling, and Guildford aren't necessarily going to offer much of a response and a pushback. And then obviously when that pushback came, that was the bit we were maybe we then had to really just find that consistency and find that extra gear to compete for the full 60 minutes. And I think, it's obviously a win's a win, and the history books don't care whether you won by one goal or 10, you get the same amount of points. But at the end of the day, it did expose some questions really around our defensive play, because last year that was one of the hallmarks of the Panthers team, was we were very consistent in. There weren't many goals. There weren't many games where we got conceded a lot of goals. Okay, you could probably. I don't think there was. Well, Jono, you'll be the
Five
man to kind
was
of.
the most, wasn't it, last year? Don't
Five, yeah,
be at
five off the
home.
most.
Five
Yeah,
two W.
I was going to say, and that wasn't on a regular basis. We were very, very tight there, and my observation would be that. That's the area where, yeah, it's great to be scoring the goals, where we need to tighten up. And what we did really, really well in the game against the Coventry Blaze, and I'm sure you probably want to come on to that, but especially in that third period against Coventry, the way we closed that game down, I thought was kind of, we're getting glimmers of both ends of the right stuff. But it is going to take time, as Jono said earlier, and to get the lines right. To get the defense working consistently in the way that we want to work, to give give what are two decent netminders in Grande and Carr a decent chance to win you a game.
Going to come to our very special guest in a minute, because I'm delighted to say he'd managed to join us. But Greener, kind of touching on that, on what Ken and Jono said. So it, clearly Saturday showed there was some shortfalls. In fact, the early part of the season has shown there's some shortfalls in this team. But is that perhaps only natural because there is a callback? Yes, we know, but there's also new players, and so that gelling process still has to take time. You look down the teams. Look, the teams that are successful. Belfast, well, they haven't had the best of starts to the season by any stretch of the imagination. Cardiff have probably had the best start to the season, out of all the teams entirely. Sheffield had a good start, but then lost to Coventry and then laboured to a win over Guildford Flames. So do you think it's kind of only natural that, I know we've had pre-season, but there's still going to be shortfalls which the coaching staff need to iron out?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, we had a pretty good pre-season, and we've had some really good results in the competitive games, but we've just maybe not only not been consistent game to game, but also like against Guildford, not even period to period. And I just, again, still quite a few new guys, and they're playing in, different rinks they're not used to. And as you've said, no team has run away yet and won four or five games in a row. No one stood out so far as, in quotations, the team to beat. All of the teams that you would consider to be at the top, they've all, beaten each other. They've all dropped points. So I think, as I think Jono said at the start, that was our key last year, was the consistency. From sort of probably November, December on, it felt like we really didn't drop many games at all. And if we did lose a game, it was an overtime, or it was really, really close by, the odd goal. But I think there's still really good signs. The goalies are playing well. We're still scoring a lot of goals. But, the power play's not been spectacular. We're probably leaking a few too many goals. We're having the odd couple of shifts or periods off. But, that's just for everyone. It's going to take a little bit of time to iron those things out. But I think overall, getting those three wins in a row, we've had a pretty good start. And, we're still missing our captain and one of our best players. So once he's in, that's only going to boost the rank. So, a few little things to work on, but I think, as a whole, fairly positive so far.
To our special guest now, he's out and about. I think he's on a dog walk. I can see he's wearing an NHL coat. And if you put your little caption up for me, O-Dog, Owen Bradley, former BBC man, welcome.
Yeah, that was specifically for you, Chris. I knew you'd love to see the old O-Dog moniker broken out for the occasion.
Swear that came from a Continental Cup trip once. I'm sure that first came. Craig Kowalski, did he not christen you O-Dog, Craig Kowalski?
He didn't christen me O-Dog. Other people called me O-Dog. Someone's house alarm's going off. This is exciting. But then he just randomly used the nickname and you loved it. So there we go.
I've loved it ever since then. Welcome, Owen Bradley. Commentated on the game on Saturday. I know you touched on it with the guys post game in the podcast, but I just kind of reflecting on it. What did you love about what you saw Saturday? And as someone who has known hockey a long time but doesn't see this Panthers team as much as we do, what did you love and what concerned you on that game?
Well, they're a fun team, and they were a fun team whenever I saw them last year. And that ability to be able to just score in bunches and grab the momentum and roll with it is just great. They were like that in pre-season as well, and the game that I did for you guys then was just really entertaining. And it's an entertainment business as well, so it's great to see that they can do that. And there were a couple of things concerning. I suppose just really the mentality side of it. It was a funny one because me and Green had talked end of the first period about we were both worried the game was going to turn into a bit of a damp squib and it might end up 7-8-1 and not really be much of a contest. And those games can be awful to commentate on, really. And it unfortunately didn't go that way because Guildford stepped up and Panthers didn't. And I guess over the course of a season, they are, if they want to compete, they are going to have to find that mentality where if you take a lead like that, you put your foot on the other team's throat and you just do not give them a sniff. Not going to happen every week, but I think that is just what they're going to need to develop. I didn't like how easy it was for Guildford to just get to really good scoring positions. I think maybe three of their goals came from right out in front. So I wasn't a big fan of that, but I feel that that is something that Danny Stewart will be able to iron out. And thinking back to how they played last season, defensively they were much more solid, and they were much more solid on Sunday night. So maybe they're starting to make those adjustments already.
Yeah, well, so too Sunday night. I didn't get to see that one. So Jono had the honour of tweeting the game. I was travelling back from a family gathering in Brampton. Jono, they were much tighter defensively. There weren't as many shot attempts, I don't think, from Saturday night. What was different defensively? I mean, apart from the obvious, what did Panthers do much better on Sunday?
They just shut Coventry down really well, especially in the second and third periods. First period, actually, Coventry, I felt, were the better team. And Danny said that in his post-game interview as well. that he felt Coventry were better and they outshot us in that first period. But we went ahead really, really early, and I think that gave us a boost. I think 55 seconds we went 1-0 up. And then we played a really sort of tight game, second and third period. We didn't allow Coventry many chances. We didn't give them many looks. When they did get a look, Kevin Carr dealt with it. He had a great game. And the defence, I felt, played really, really well. It reminded me of the team last season where we used to go to away games and really grind out a gritty win. And it was just like that from last season. It was a really, really good professional performance. And those two late goals to steal the win just really put the icing on the cake. But I mean, for Blaze, they're a good side, especially in the Sky Dome. Matt Robson had a fantastic game. And they look dangerous, and I think they will pose a lot of problems for teams throughout the season. But we managed to manage them really, really well. And I think it was a really great win on Sunday night.
Chris, I'm going to kind of throw one at you, but you're probably quite prepared for it. In terms of qualification for the Challenge Cup, the Panthers, I've been looking at the wins and, obviously now I think with Coventry taking points off Cardiff and Sheffield recently, the group really has bunched together. I'm just going to read out the group now and we'll just kind of go down our thoughts on what might happen in the Panthers group. Cardiff are on 10 points after six games, so they're not, I mean they've not qualified, but they put themselves in a really good position. Sheffield second on 9, Coventry are in third on 8, and then the Panthers in fourth on 6, Manchester and Guildford a little bit behind. I mean, I guess what the results of Coventry taking points is, whereas maybe we earlier we were thinking in our heads and talking about, well, we talked about could Panthers make that elimination game with the results kind of kept Coventry taking points. Yes, it means Coventry is still in the mix, but surely it means Panthers still have a bit of a chance of that top two, probably more likely second, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. But I still maintain that I think Panthers will need to win in order to get that second spot. They will have to win, particularly the games against Cardiff and Sheffield that we've got coming up. I still think in the next week they will probably need 6, maybe 5 points in order to give themselves the best chance of getting into that top two. But certainly, as was alluded to earlier, because all the teams are taking points off all the other teams, it's not as though Panthers have been, left behind as we worried perhaps in the first 2 weekends they might be. So it is still all to play for. Of course, it's going to be incredibly difficult with the fixtures that they've got coming up in the next 7 days. But if the team can ride the good form that they've got at the moment, and particularly do as Jono said, and shut teams down when they're on the road. I mean, the contrast between the two games this weekend, Panthers on Saturday night against Guildford were outshot 32-13 in the last two periods. Then on Sunday, they outshoot Coventry 32-12. So it was two very different games, and they'll need to emulate what they did against Coventry in these games coming up, and then they've got a great chance.
Just before we move on from you, TSGG, is it true, the rumour true, that Jono Bullard's top of the prediction league?
Joint top, we'll add in
And
joint top with myself and some.
who might he be joint top with?
He's joint top with me and somebody who I believe, based on their username, is a Steelers fan. Yeah, three-way tie at the moment, which is great. If you get your predictions in on time, then you end up being
Yeah,
the top of
get
the
your
league.
predictions in early
I'm
and it pays
sure.
dividends. It really
I'm sure I'd
does.
be up there if I'd not predicted three out of the last as many. I mean, at 12 o'clock, I logged it. I was like, right, I'll just do my predictions now and logged. I mean, if it's one thing, I'm glad it's been changed because the European Court of Human Rights was mentioned on more than one occasion in the side chat because 12 o'clock on the day of the games, that's just
Owen's
not. That's
wondering what on
not a good
earth's going
time.
on now.
That's not, we were good, I'm glad something was done about that.
I'm aware of the controversy from social media posts, and I agree it's a disgrace, Ken.
That's
Yeah.
it. O-Dog's on our side. O-Dog.
You just have the notifications on the app, and then you when there's
I'd
another
have
vote,
no, if
you
I've
do
got loads of apps, I'd have pings and pongs going off all the time. I already get into
the.
trouble the amount of time I spend
It's
looking at
like a
my
game
phone
of
as it
table
is.
tennis.
If you don't know what you're talking about, you probably do by now, but Chris Gadsby with Sophie Bond set up a prediction league. It has been quite fun. Who's higher, Ken Feast or myself?
Believe it's you, I'll just double check.
That's just Ken never remembers.
So Chris, you are in 51st place.
And how many people have played in the game?
Well, some
54.
signed up and haven't actually done any, but I think there's 128 that are actively kind of taking part. You're
Right.
in 51st, Ken, you're in 58th.
Oh, it's close.
I'm like aggressively mid-table.
It's close. It's close. Need to remember for the
But
weekend.
me, but Chris and I are both like we've missed. Yeah,
Dozens.
I've, there's the, yeah, there's loads. So
You have.
we
Yeah.
probably, I
John
think, on
Jono
that
really
basis,
wants that first place prize.
be joint
Yeah. He
top.
wants that mystery bag.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to get Owen Bradley to sign up. Is it too late to sign up now, or?
No, you can sign up. You just got to come from obviously a decent way back.
Get in there, Owen. Come on.
Won't be that hard if Ken keeps missing the deadline, will
So
It's now 3 o'clock, isn't it, or something? Is that what you've
yeah.
updated? Yeah. Excellent.
Is it all automatic though? You don't have to then input anything, Chris. It's all
I
done.
have to input all the scores and everything
Oh, of course. Yeah,
every
of
night,
course.
yeah.
Yeah. But then it automatically takes tally of what everybody's written
Yeah.
down. Yeah. That absolutely does. That makes a lot of sense. Listen, I'm going to move on to Owen because I'm conscious he's walking about and want to talk. And Owen, I want to give you a chance to talk about Ollie because a lot of people won't have heard your talk about Ollie. You managed to make it onto the pre-game podcast on Saturday, the pre-game show in Saltbox, which was great to have you on the stage. I mean, we were talking about Ollie. Oh, we'll come on to a nice little story about Greener, including in this as well in a minute. But first of all, Owen, someone I know that is a good link with your time when you were covering the Panthers for BBC Radio Nottingham. And we talked about, the stats. He's already sold over 2,000 tickets for that testimonial, which is 6 weeks away. I think that shows, doesn't it? Just to reiterate what the Nottingham public think of Ollie, that 6 weeks away, he's got a couple of thousand people coming to his big night.
Yeah, it's staggering, and we've had a few testimonials, haven't we, over recent years, and it's amazing to see the support that Ollie's getting because, headline figures, he's not a star in the way that, say, David Clarke was, just to pick out the first name that comes to my head. But the thing about Ollie is, and this is what I said on stage in Saltbox at the weekend, he's just a heart and soul guy, and he's been so central, I guess, to the team and to the organization for such a long time. So ice is for the club for the first time when he's what, 8 years old? I don't know, 15, 16.
15, I think he
He
was, yeah.
becomes a regular 6 years later. There for years and years and years. And like I say, he's never been a top line guy. But every team needs guys like him who are there and put everything on the line every time they suit up. And that's not to say that he doesn't have quality. He's got bags of it. But he plays his role ever so well. And I guess personally, he's a link to, my time covering the club regularly, which I have, as the fondest memories of, on the ice and off the ice as well. The relationships I made and the connections that I made, and it's always amazing to walk back to the rink and see you guys and see everyone. And he's one of those guys. He's the only one left, really, certainly on the playing side. Obviously, Goody's around, but in a very different role these days to the one that he's doing when I knew him. But I think Ollie sort of, he's a thread through a lot of different eras. Like you can go back to like the cup winning days and the title winning team almost, and then everything that's happened since, the highs and the lows, and he's just always been there. So for him to get the testimonial and to see the support that he's getting and the emotion for him, I love it. Like, and he's such a great guy, amazing family. I could not be happier for him.
So I think you all know this answer. Well, certainly everybody in the podcast chat knows this. There's a little chat, Owen. Sorry you're not in it, but you're a new member. You have to pass an initiation ceremony to be in the chat. But we put the coaches and Greener out announcement that Greener's going to, I mean, let's talk about this. about Greener putting his pads on, putting his skates on. But we put his announcement out alongside the three coaches, Linton, Danny, and Strax. And the sponsorship package is you can sponsor anyone in the testimonial. And who's went within 20 minutes? I think it was less than that. Dan Green.
Amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it.
You're buzzing, aren't you, Greener?
I am. I assume it was either Owen or Jono that bought it, but I appreciate that.
No,
I was
it
going to say, do
wasn't.
you do you know who's bought it?
Well, I mean, it's probably not fair of me to announce
What
who it was, but
are the rights? What does it give you? Is it like an evening with Dan, or is
yeah,
it like
you get to watch Dan on the podcast. Just sit there and
it's
get
a
your
great
no.
deal.
Right. So it's something that will make it. So a friend of mine, I'm going to name him because I don't think there's any GDPR issues with it. It's probably now.
Oh no, he's
My man called Andrew Shaw.
Ken,
Okay, for many, many, many
Ken,
years.
start again. You were just breaking up at the key moment. Go again.
I was going to say, so a mate of mine I've known for many, many years called Andy Shaw. He won a competition years and years ago, and it was back in the day of Gary Moran when everything was money can't buy prizes, which basically meant there were great prizes that didn't cost us a lot to do, and he basically won Ryan Schmier for a day, and basically he had Schmierzy, like so basically you've ru so Schmierzy went to work with him, and so he picked him up in his little Ford KA and took him to Eon, I think was where he used to work, and he's like sat around in the IT department. It's like, I've just got Ryan Schmier with me all day. It's like,
That's
That is such a
brilliant.
Gary Moran thing to do.
I think there was a few of them. I think Bergie went for a day
Yeah.
with someone. I'm pretty sure
Yeah.
that rings a
It's
bell
not.
now. But Bergie went with Bergie teamed up with somebody else, a teammate, and they spent the day doing something. It might have involved having a drink as well. But that's, I mean, actually, that is pretty cool. Imagine being able to say
We
like,
should do that again.
yeah, we'll speak to the
Yeah, we
CEO
should do
now.
that.
But no, so going back to it, the shirt sponsorship, off the top of my head, it entails a personalized shirt. So you can have whatever you want on the back of this jersey. And you also get to be presented with a jersey by the player. You get to have the photo with the player. So Greener will be having a photo with the fans. So yeah, no, but I do know who it is. And yeah, it's not Greener's mum, and it's not
When did
me.
you last play, Greener? When were you last on the ice?
It would have been Matthew's testimonial. So Matthew did two. He did one here and one in Cardiff, and I played in both of them. That's probably like, well, whenever Matthew was last here, was it 3 years ago?
Doing it 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago,
Two
off
and a half
the
years
top of my
ago,
head.
yeah.
Yeah. How do you
Yeah.
feel? Are you apprehensive or are you excited?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fine. There's no, I don't think anyone's judging anybody's performance out there. I think it's always harder for a goalie because, like, all the ex-players can just float around and really do nothing and no one notices it. Where obviously, if I let in 15 goals in a game, it's fairly obvious. So there's probably more pressure on a goalie that's coming back to play. But I mean, it's all for fun. You know, it's just being part of it, which, like, obviously, Owen said a lot of nice things about Ollie just to be asked and you know, sort of get to see all those old teammates again will be awesome. So no, I mean the event will be amazing. Am I looking forward to the actual game? Wouldn't say looking forward to it, just get through it and then that's it.
How's the groin?
And then have a beer.
We'll see how we'll see how the groin holds up. I'll let you know after the first game or you know the first bit of it. But yeah, so we'll see. But no, I say it'll be really fun. And obviously, I don't know exactly the sort of, I don't know if you've announced like the format of the games and the teams and everything, but I'm sure however Ollie does it, it'll be good fun.
No,
It's just straight shootouts, isn't it? I think.
Say again. Breakaway
Shootouts.
challenge, relentless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the format will be announced very shortly. There's some fabulous players yet to be announced. I said on the pre-game show, just literally finalizing some bits and bobs with some of them. But there's some lovely names which people are going to love. And also, if you're listening to this, there is going to be a very nice exclusive little dinner as well the night before. So mark your card for Monday, the 17th of November. There won't be many tickets available, but if you mark that down, and tickets are going to go on sale hopefully by next week, which should be really exciting. So watch that as well. I forget what you said, Greener, about chirping or something earlier on. I hear a little rumor that Ken, you're already giving a little bit of a grief to one of our coaching staff about seeing him on the ice in a few weeks. A little birdie tells me.
Was the little birdie the birdie himself, was it?
I can't say, but I've already heard that you've been giving him a bit of a stick.
He'll be absolutely fine. I was just giving him a bit of stick after the announcement, that was all.
But I'm excited to see, all of our coaching staff, Linton and Danny and Rich Strachan on the ice, like somebody, Owen, you obviously work with during your time, as in, Rick Strachan, seeing him put his skates on again.
We need to, we
Yeah.
need. Oh, sorry.
No, it's quite all right. I'm just going to say, like, it's so good. It's always so good to see the guys come back. And it's the sort of thing that might do the team a lot of good as well, from just sort of a bonding and a togetherness point of view, because Strax is of an age, everybody knows that, and I'm sure Danny's not in the shape he was when he was playing, and the fact that they're all willing to get out there and strap up the skates again and put on a show for Ollie, it's just you have to be able to sort of poke fun at yourself a little bit, and that might the sort of thing that might go down really well in the room. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I'm really excited to see who else is lined up to come back as well.
What were you going to say, Kenneth?
I was going to say, I think we should start a petition to get Pash out on there.
It's funny you should say that. I said that to him just today because there's been a few social media comments. So
He
maybe.
definitely, he, maybe the guy just wants his own announcement. That's what it is. He doesn't
I
want to be
mean,
announced with anyone else, but
hey Ken, I'm leaving that with
he's got
you.
to do it. He's got to do it.
You overturned the timing of Chris Gadsby and Sophie Bond's prediction leak, so you're the man to do this.
Me to whip up a storm, get a House of Commons petition going on
Yeah, go and get Pash on ice.
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? And in case you're listening and you don't quite know what a testimonial game is, so it's an honor of Ollie's 10 years. In the old days, it was often like the current Panthers team would play some greats, and it would just be the current Panthers against some players of the past. And then a few years after we'd done a couple, I can't remember which was the first player that changed the format, but he split everybody into four little teams. And I think maybe the first one, maybe it was Lacko, he just totally jumbled them up. In fact, we actually, in one of them, maybe it was Lacko's, we had GMs and coaches, and the GMs picked their side, which was really great. We sat down in a bar a few weeks before, and they all picked their side. We just went around with like an NHL style draft. It was really fun. And then I think players since then have done that. But yeah, what Ollie is going to do, without giving too much away, he's going to break it down into four teams. He'll obviously have Panthers players there, he'll have former players there, and he'll have some GB teammates there as well. Strikes me, Owen, you're a bit of a ball. You played ball hockey for GB, of course.
GB Masters, yeah, so over 35s.
Yeah, so you still played. You're the only one here who's played ball. Greener, did you play ball hockey?
No.
Johnny,
John, I
you
used
played
to
a bit,
play.
yeah.
Yeah, I used to play. I actually played in the same team as Owen a few times.
But you
Did we
never
ever
played.
did
I should
G
say, did we play together?
Yeah, we played South Notts Reapers.
Of course, my Reapers days. That was the first team I ever played for, actually.
It was a while ago.
If this
When
lead, if
I
this
could
is leading
move a
up to
bit
getting
better.
me on the ice, Chris, there's absolutely no chance.
No, my point was, do you think you could skate with them? No.
I've played ice hockey twice, so absolutely not.
No.
No,
Chris,
not a chance, no.
DSGG, can you skate?
No, I can just about go around the edge. I don't have to hold on to the wall, but I can't like skate with any conviction.
I have to hold on the wall. What about you, Ken? I've never seen you skate.
I can skate, not to any great standard, but I've had one go ice hockey. And I'll put a video on the group. You can see what you think. I allegedly pulled the spinorama and did score a goal, but it wasn't pretty.
I did that on a GB feature when Ben O'Connor had done it and scored for GB in that penalty shootout. No, it was a penalty shot in the middle of a game against, I think, South Korea. Anyway, I fell flat on my ass. It was horrible.
I remember that. It was brilliant. I remember that. It was absolutely.
I'm more akin to the WeatherTech roofing ad, I have to say, which is my favorite ad for everything. You know, we're better at roofing than we are at ice hockey. It's brilliant. Like
He had
the
a
end of
lot of
that
fun
advert.
filming that. He had a lot of fun filming that. That was very special. Right, I think we'll wrap it up. We don't really have time to look ahead to the weekend, but obviously we'll be reflecting on that. So join us for, the post game podcast will go live at some point, either Saturday night, but more likely Sunday. We may not get one in the week because we're going to Sheffield, aren't we, next Wednesday? Might get time maybe Thursday or Friday, but probably unlikely. So just as before I finish, and I need to cough. Excuse me. There are tickets are going really well. It's going to be a massive Saturday night crowd. So if you are thinking and you're just umming and ahhing, make sure you get them. Big night. Manchester games are always, I think they've got a little bit of spice in them. You can already see the two times that Panthers have played in Manchester, there's been a bit of a battle. So excited to welcome the Storm. So make sure you get your tickets as soon as possible. But for now, on the Panthers podcast, thanks for joining us.